It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just like the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling. Like, you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Tonight I'm joined by Scott, and Scott had a rather fascinating Yowie encounter in the Queensland town of Bundaberg. So Scott, welcome to the show, mate.
Yeah, thanks, Kate. Thanks for having me on, mate. It's an absolute pleasure.
Mate, it's really cool to have you on. We'll chat him before we kind of got started. And Yowie encounters in that part of Queensland are very rare. So when you mentioned that yours happened in kind of that central Queensland area, that really kind of pricks my ears up, because a lot of people contact me with UFO encounters and things like that in that area. So I haven't had a lot of people contact me with Yowie encounters. So yeah, really, really unique. So mate, can you tell me when this happened and kind of walk us through the encounter that you had there?
Yeah, absolutely. So this happened in September 20, and it happened in a town called Moore Park Beach, which is 30 kilometers north of Bundaberg. I moved there a few years back just to sort of escape the city life, moved from Brisbane, and my biggest aim was to sort of focus less on the hectic lifestyle of the busy city to wind back a bit and maybe do a bit of fishing. And this one morning early in September of 2022, I got up at 4 o'clock for the king tide that was occurring, and decided to go for a bit of a stroll down to the beach and do a bit of a fish, which is something I'd started to do quite regularly. I'd bought an electric bike just a couple of months before and kitted it out with a rack on the back and some rod holders and a tackle box, which was all kitted up, ready to go. I took it down to the beach. There's two entrances at Moore Park. There's the northern four-wheel drive entrance and there's the south four-wheel drive entrance. I went to the north one this time. And I can ride along the beach there for about 4 kilometers north, all the way up to the point, which is, it's kind of like a little bit of a spit, that a pinnacle. On the left hand side, as you reach the point, it's all nature reserve and mangroves and gum trees and things like that. It's fairly bushy, woody sort of area. I went up to the very tip and sort of scooched around to the left, which was to the east and on the other side of the point where the mouth of the river was, and that's where I started to go fishing. And the sun was still, you know, it was on the horizon, but it hadn't come up yet. And the night before, there's quite a lot of fishing trawlers that come through here getting the prawns and whatnot. And when they do, usually the high tide after, all the bycatch washes up onto the shore. So there's lots of, the beach is littered with thousands of little tiny bait fish, And I knew that they'd had been out the night because that beach was just scattered with all these little dead fish, unfortunately. So I was up there having a bit of a fish, and I had a little esky that I'd strapped to the back of my electric bike, and I used that as a seat and sort of perched up against the side of the sand dune, just with my back against it, had the rod in the water. And it's worth noting too, just before I go into the encounter, that there's only one way to get to where I was. You have to go along the beach, otherwise it's through, like I said, dense bush that, and at that time of the night you'd need a torch to get through it, and there's no other way to get to where I was. The only way would be to go along the beach. So nothing come past me that I saw. I'd been fishing for not long, maybe 10, 15 minutes, and saw this sort of thing in the corner of my eye just start to move. And as I sort of focused on it, it was still pretty dark, but the silhouette of this object, I thought it was a bear. And as absurd as that sounded, living in Australia, we don't have grizzlies or anything like that. That's my immediate thought. And I'd lived in Canada for a couple of years back in the early 2000s. And I remember them saying, you know, that it was drilled into you. If you see a big grizzly bear, you play dead, you lay still. And that's exactly what I did. And it was instinctual. I don't even think that any sort of thought crossed my mind. As soon as I saw this thing, I just fell back into the dune and just was like, holy shit. That thing's huge. And it walked over to the point, very quiet. And like I said, there's no way it could have got there unless it came through that bush. And to get through that bush, you'd need a headlamp or a torch, and you would have made quite a lot of noise. And this thing was silent. It wandered out to the point. It was pretty obvious that it didn't see me. It just wandered out to the point and started picking up those little fish that I said were on the beach, and sort of crouched down, started eating them. It was walking on all fours at this point. So just sort of moseying on down there. And I was stunned, mate. I was petrified. I thought, this thing, if it sees me, it's going to eat me. I could tell that it was big. And as the sun started to come up, I could see that it was a menacing looking creature. The sun started to rise, and I was watching this thing in silence with my rod in my hand, like white knuckle holding tight this thing. And it must have been for 10 minutes that I was just staring at this thing without moving, barely breathing, mate. I was that petrified. And it sort of turned around and started to walk back to the way it came, but it came a bit closer to me. And at this stage, it was probably about 30 or 40 meters away. And it looked over at me. It specifically made eye contact with me. And that's when I thought, shit, I'm done. I'm going to be destroyed by this thing. At that point, it stood up on its back legs and its hind legs and looked at me, and for maybe 5 or 6 seconds, maybe trying to figure out what I was. Then it made this sound that, man, blood-curdling screech, like a pig cross, like a wild pig, but with a deep baritone sort of resonance to it. And then it sprinted. It sprinted on its back legs, on its hind legs, into a four-leg sprint, sort of a weird thing that it did. But it was, again, silent, mate, and it moved like a picture of a big cat, like a panther or a tiger or something like that, just, for lack of a better word, graceful and speedy. So this and after that, I waited. I thought, you know, it's going to come up and get me. I waited until the sun was completely up in the sky and everything was lit. And I don't think I moved a muscle for a good 15 minutes after that fact, until I was certain this thing had gone. And I hightailed. I grabbed my bike and I ran with my rod and tackle box with my bike. I didn't even try and mount my bike. I was so scared that this thing was just behind me that I waited until I was probably 100 meters down the beach running with my bike and everything under my arms before I decided to throw a leg over and mount my bike and get the hell out of there. And I got home early in the morning, panicky, sort of thinking, you know, what have I just seen? I've never, the feeling I had come over me from witnessing this thing was, words can't describe it, mate. It was like everything that I knew existed in the world was just torn upside down. Like, what the hell was that? I went home, told my wife, who laughed at me, and she thought I was crazy. And she said to me, you know, the it's just the sun coming up. It was probably just a wild pig or something. This was not a wild pig. This was something that looked like a cross between a grizzly bear and an orangutan. This thing was a monster. But when I said it made eye contact with me, at that point, I could see its face, and it had a big jaw, big mandible, like an orangutan, but with its eyes looked very similar to a human being, like a giant human being. And I'd say this thing stood at least 3 meters tall when it was on its back legs. The story continues a bit further on from there, Kate, because this encounter it consumed me for weeks, months afterwards, because I couldn't sleep. I was up investigating through, you know, just the channels available like Google and whatnot, just to try and make sense of what I'd seen, to see if anybody else had any encounter similar, which is actually where I came across your podcast and started becoming an avid listener. But I sort of met no leads. No, everything was a dead end. There was nothing quite similar in the area, but I'd volunteered at the, well, I still do. I volunteer at the rural fire station, and I was down there a few months later, and we're just having a bit of a conversation. Somebody mentioned the fact that there were some people up camping in the nature reserve, pretty much where I'd been fishing that day. And it's illegal to camp up there. And they said, you know, they just got to be careful of the rangers or the council going up. Just small talk. And one of the guys pipes up and says, "It's not the ranger he has to be careful about, mate. It's that fucking bunyip." And I remember my ears pricked up, and I was like, "What bunyip? What's this, mate?" And everyone had a bit of a giggle and a bit of a chuckle, and the conversation turned to this bunyip. And I hadn't told anybody in my encounter except for my wife at this point. And I said, "So, you know, try to dig a little bit deeper. Tell me what's this bunyip, mate? What?" And I got the stories from these guys that had been, who've been living in the area for, you know, 30, 40 years, saying, you know, this story dates back to years. There's so many encounters that it's just an unspoken folklore that nobody really talks about, but everybody's aware of, that there's apparently a bunyip or a yowie or whatever you want to call it that lives in this part of the world. And that was when it added a little bit of validity to what I'd seen, because I was, like I said, it consumed me, mate. And a lot of that time spent researching was also spent questioning my own sanity as to whether I'd seen this thing or imagined it. And I can say with 100% certainty what I saw that day was nothing that is in an animal or a biological book or anything that I've seen so far. I've searched through thousands of photos of orangutans, thousands of photos of grizzly bears, thousands of photos of panthers, thylacines, all the sorts of things that people, you know, say that they may possibly exist that escaped from zoos or whatnot, but nothing, mate, nothing even comes close to what I saw that day.
And the thing that I find so unique about your encounter here, Scott, is the fact that you have like the wilderness experience of living in Canada, which is so famous for the bears that kind of live there. You know, the wilderness of Canada is so vast with its natural predators that seeing a bear, it would almost be second nature to you. You would understand what that is. And essentially, you've seen something that doesn't fit the bill for anything. So it really doesn't surprise me that this was so paradigm breaking for you, because like you said, this doesn't fit anyway. Like this is a monster. These things aren't supposed to exist.
That's what it was, mate. It was a monster in size, shape, and everything else. Living when I was in Canada, I worked, my job over there was working on the radio towers, often in remote locations. We'd work in teams of two or three. We'd always have handheld radios. One or two people would be up the tower, one person would be on the ground. I remember being on the ground one time, and the guy up the tower radioed down and said, "Just be careful, you're back. There's a bear coming up the track." And looked around, and sure enough, there was a grizzly on the access track to this tower. And it looked nothing like what I saw that day. This thing moved different. It behaved different. This thing had, for lack of a better description, a menacing sort of aura, I guess you'd say, about it. Like this thing, without the size alone, if this thing could have been half of its size, and I knew that it could destroy me if it wanted to. It was a creature not to be messed with.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a rather fascinating encounter. The fact that you got to witness this thing for such a long time is so unique in these types of encounters, because the general encounter that people would kind of have with these types of creatures is it's like a fleeting moment. It's a couple of seconds here or there. But the fact that you're kind of trapped in this sand dune hiding from it, I could only imagine the terror that would have been consuming you in that period of time, especially with this thing getting as close as 30 meters away. You know, 30 meters away is it's so close for a creature that is 3 meters tall. The reality is, like, this creature could have absolutely covered that distance in seconds and got to you.
Yeah, that was exactly the only thought I had at that time was I had no escape. I was afraid to move, because I knew that if this thing saw me, there was no chance of me escaping whatsoever. The way that it moved, like I said, it was stealthy. It crept through those bushes without me even acknowledging its presence. This thing was in its habitat, and I was just, you know, a naive bloody fish. I had my fishing knife. I had that in my tackle box, which was beside me, and I had my rod in my hand. And all these thoughts went like I should reach for my knife, but the fear paralyzed me. I thought, if I make any movement whatsoever, this thing's going to see me and it's going to come for me.
When you were there and you made eye contact with this thing, what was going through your mind? Because that is, for me, that would have been just the most incomprehensible moment of this encounter. You've made eye contact with this creature. It's not supposed to exist. You are looking face to face with it.
That question you just asked me, mate, is the question I've asked myself since it happened. I don't know what I thought. There was the terror factor, obviously, but then there was, like you say, the best way to describe it is my paradigm shifting. My world turned upside down in those seconds, because this thing shouldn't exist. It doesn't. I don't recognize it from any of the realms of reality that I exist in. This doesn't make sense. I didn't think Yowie. I didn't think Sasquatch. I didn't think Bunyip. I just thought monster. I thought, what the hell is this thing? And it's now looking at me. What do I do? Whether that was when it sort of screamed, made that sound, whether that was, you know, a warning to me to get out of its territory before it attacked me, or whether it was startled by my presence, that, you know, it hadn't recognized me as it had approached the point. Maybe that was the case. Maybe it was, you know, I'd slipped under its radar and it was startled by it, turned around and saw me, and it was just as startled as I was. But I have no idea, mate, to be perfectly honest with you. The only thing that I can think of is how lucky I am that this thing decided not to eat me.
Oh, 100%. And I don't care what anyone says. Like, people will believe these creatures to be like the forest guardians and things like that. I am 100% under the impression that this is a wild animal, and you don't muck around with wild animals ever.
No, mate. I'm not going out there to research these things. Like I said before we started recording, I've been up to back to that point a couple of times, but never on my own. I won't go up there on my own. And this what I'm saying now, this including this conversation, this is the fifth time that I've told anybody. I've told four other people about this encounter, for including my wife. So this is you and the audience that are going to listen to this. Yeah, I'm bearing it all, mate. I'm bearing it all in the hopes that somebody else can make sense of what I saw and has maybe had a similar encounter and can reach out to you and say, hey, this bloke's not insane. I saw the same thing too.
No, mate, and I really appreciate it, because this is the whole reason that this show exists, is to kind of give people a chance to talk about the encounters that they've had, because it's really hard to have something like this happen to you, and I would imagine you would almost feel so alone after this happened, because it would be really difficult for your partner not to really understand or believe or want to comprehend the encounter that you had, and then not knowing anyone else who's really had something like this. It's almost like a burden that you need to keep.
And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
That's how it feels. It feels like a burden. I mean, my wife, she's of the realist. When I said I came back and she didn't believe me, she sort of laughed it off. She thought I was taking the piss out of it. But she saw how obsessed I became over this thing. She saw the ramifications. She saw me staying up at night on Google. She saw me reaching out to other people through social media just to expand on their encounters and things like that. And that's not something I'd ever done before. Sasquatch, Bunyips, Yowies, they'd never been on my radar. Never had a thought about them, to be honest. And the best way to describe it is alone. When you see something like this, you can tell somebody, but you know that as soon as the words leave your mouth, that you're at the mercy of their, I guess, interpretation of what you've just said. They can either choose to believe you or choose to think you're ludicrous, you're making it up. You don't really know. It's a vulnerable situation, but you know, it happened. I know it happened. But whether what I saw was, you know, from an escaped zoo, I don't know. Okay, to be honest, mate, I just know that I saw something that scared the bejesus out of me, and it exists.
yeah, definitely. I have absolutely zero doubt that this creature is out there, because I have spoken to so many people, and you can genuinely hear the effect it has on these people in their voice. Like even now, like you can hear you're kind of reliving the moment, retelling this story. And I can only imagine the position that really puts you in as a person. So, you know, I do appreciate you coming forward to talk about it, because these things are never easy to talk about, regardless of if this is the fifth time or the 500th time, because again, you know, this is something that most people believe don't exist, and this is a fairy tale kind of creature. You've seen it in real life. You've had it yell at you. You've looked at it eye to eye. Like that's the stuff that most people would have nightmares about.
Oh, I've had my nightmares, mate. I've had my fair share of those. Yeah, consummation. That's it. It consumed every part of me. I'm okay to talk about it now, but there was a time there where, you know, just reliving it just created this feeling of dread. Like what if this thing does mean harm to us as human beings? What if this thing's out there and it's, you know, these people that go missing all around the world? All these thoughts have come to me since that encounter. You know, what happened, people that go trekking through the bush and whatnot, and they just get lost and never to be recovered? Did this thing get them? Or, you know, it's just these possibilities that I would never have even contemplated before in my life. It's all those sort of things.
Oh, but absolutely.
And to be honest with you, speaking about this, Kate, it's kind of, I kind of feel a bit of a release, a little bit liberated
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I absolutely get it because, you know, this is an extremely safe place. And the fact is, like, you're potentially talking to an audience of people who have had encounters with this same creature in a very similar area. And what that does is it just creates the awareness of this type of thing. And you never know, like, you might find someone will reach out to try talk to you about it, because you'll be surprised at how often that genuinely happens on the podcast. Because Australia, as vast as it is, it's still very community based in the sense that we've got a lot of small coastal areas, and the city that you live in is, you know, genuinely one of those. So you never know, someone may be listening in that city to, and they've had the same encounter and they don't know how to approach it either. And this is a stepping stone for them.
Yeah, I'm really hoping someone can reach out and help make sense of this, if not for my own sanity, but just in case, you know, somebody else goes through something similar in the future. And maybe this story might, you know, might assist them if anybody does come across this thing and they think, well, they find themselves in a similar situation, they can say, well, you know, I'm not going insane, I'm not crazy, this has happened to somebody else, I heard about it on a podcast.
and what I really find the most intriguing part of it all is, like, you weren't a yaoi nuthead or anything like that. Like, you weren't into this
absolutely
type of thing.
Absolutely not. No, mate. No, and, not at all.
And I can only imagine the infuriation of people around the world who are dying to have an experience like you've had, and you just had absolutely no idea of what you were even seeing at that moment. At what point did you start to realize what it was that you saw?
Well, by the time I'd sort of gotten home, you know, I was on my bike, but after I got off the sand and back onto the main road and saw that there were cars on their way to work, it sort of reality caught back up to me, and I was able to take a couple of deep breaths and think, you know, and analyze the situation, think, you know, look, I'm safe now, I'm back in town, I'm going to be home in a few minutes. And that's when I started to actually gather my thoughts together and sort of process it a little bit more. I thought that, you know, maybe that was a yaoi. I'd heard about yaoi. I'd heard that people have had these similar encounters. And when I got home, that's what I described it to my wife. I said, I think I just saw a yaoi. And after that, it was just purely Google. Just yaoi encounters, Sasquatch encounters, all of the above. And I found a few websites that describe things similar. There was a few different variations. Like I saw there was a guy, I think he was in Victoria, that said that he saw this a jet black creature that moved like eloquently as well. But there was a few distinct differences. Like his was, so his state of this thing was like a sleek, shiny, real furry, densely furred creature. But the one that I saw was, it was furry, but it was like sparse. It was patchy looking, like it had mange or something off the bat. Like it didn't look like the same thing that this guy had described. So there are other similar, very similar encounters, but they're also quite different. So it's, yeah, I don't know what it was, but my assumption is I saw a yaoi.
Oh man, absolutely. And the fact that yours looked different from something down south really wouldn't surprise me, because you just have to look at the climate in our part of the world compared to down in Victoria. Yeah. You know, we've got unimaginable humidity and heat and the thickest bush that you'll ever see. And you know, it wouldn't surprise me that there's almost like a winter coat and a summer coat for these types of creatures, like, to be honest.
Well, it's a very feasible scenario, I guess, that this thing, yeah, well, it would have to adapt to its surrounding, its climate, like every other creature that lives and breathes. And that's a good point, mate. I never really even thought of that. But
do you ever wish that you could go back to the experience again and kind of relive it, knowing what you know now?
Yeah, Absolutely, without a doubt. If I could go back to that experience being in that dune and know for 100% certainty I was going to make it out alive, I'd do it again in a heartbeat, because the details that come back to me now when I think about it would be enhanced. I'd pay so much more attention to everything else. Like I wouldn't have been so. One thing I would have done that bugs me now is I never went back. After it left and I was still there, I never went out and checked on the sand to see footprints. I was so petrified, I just got home. See, I would have changed that. I would have gone out and looked at the size of this thing's feet. I would have taken a phone with me and recorded the entire event. I would have had, there was so many things I would have done different.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the logical brain kind of kicking in after hindsight. But in those moments when you've just had the most terrifying encounter of your life and your body's pumping full of adrenaline, these types of things are the last thing on your mind. Like, no one wants to go back to where they just saw this thing. And, you know, the fact that you didn't even have your phone on you, like, most people don't even have the right side of mind to pull their phone out to capture anything.
Well, that I did say that I didn't have but I did actually have my phone on me, Kate. It was in my pocket, but again, it was one of those things, but I didn't even think about my phone. My phone, to me, didn't exist in that moment. All that existed was this creature in front of me, and there was nothing else. That was it. I was waiting for him to make his move.
I think about the situation that you were in, and I feel like it must have been the lucky dip of Yowie encounters, because you've gone down on the beach, you've got the sun, and for those who don't know, Bundaberg is an east coast town, so when the sun rises over the ocean, and you're probably hidden by the bright light coming from a rising sun. There's all these dead small fish on the beach that would potentially be covering up any scent that you have, and there's every chance, because of the coastal winds, that you are always going to be downwind with how aggressive the wind can be on those beaches. You were kind of almost in the perfect place to have an encounter with something like this to not ever be found.
Well, yeah, I definitely know that the wind was blowing from the southeast, so that lines up with what you've just said. I wouldn't have been within its range of smell, because the wind was blowing away from me. So that makes sense. I never thought about the scent of the fish either, that I could have masked it. There's so many things, mate. I'm glad I'm actually speaking to you about it now, because it's answering some questions I haven't really even thought about, to be honest. Yeah, mate, it's liberating.
Mate, I have to ask, what made the creature look at you? Like, did you do something to make its attention draw towards you, or are you just kind of just frozen there and eyes just met?
I didn't move a muscle, mate. I think if somebody had been beside me, they probably would have been able to hear my heartbeat. This thing, after it had finished doing whatever it was doing, eating the fish and it was doing something weird in the sand. Like, it was picking up the fish and eating them. Like, that I could see. The sun was barely in the sky at this point, but I could clearly make out that it was eating these fish, but it was also doing something weird in the sand. Like, it wasn't digging. It was sort of like swishing the water on the sand. But that once it got tired of doing that, and it turned around and just started sort of walking back the way it had wandered down to the point, it walked a little bit closer to me than when it didn't take the exact same route, that it started to walk towards me a bit. So as its eyes just sort of crossed into where I was sitting, I didn't make any movement or anything that I know of, but I think it just was a coincidence that it headed in my direction, saw me, and then took off. I'm glad that it did now, because, like I said, hindsight and knowing that I'm alive to tell the story, I'm glad it did, because it adds that I can give you the details of what I saw better, because otherwise it was just a big silhouette, big angry looking creature. But the fact that it saw me and that it made eye contact, I can sort of describe it a little bit better. I wish I had a sketch artist to describe it to, so that, because this thing, was a monster. It was an absolute monster of a being.
It's funny, I might put you in contact with someone, Buck. He's the sketch artist over at the AYR team, and he would, I'll see if I can get him to get in touch with you, because he's an incredible little artist, and he's the main guy over there who does all the drawings. So this might be right up his alley. I'll see if he can sort something out for you.
That would be awesome, mate, because even just to put the picture back into something that's physical, it's not just in my memory then it's there. You know, I can sort of go back and go, yeah, that's the creature that I saw.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes a massive difference to even record keeping, because if we have something that's a little bit more physical or a little bit more tangible that people can kind of see, it makes it a little bit more real for them, and they can kind of express, hey, yeah, no, I saw the same thing as well. So, you know, Scott, you're not alone. You're not crazy. You saw this thing.
Well, you know, I did question it for a while, Kate. I'm not going to lie, mate. I thought I was losing my mind. And yeah, I guess that's normal though in that situation.
Absolutely. You know, like, I know I've said it multiple times, like just this episode, but you've seen something that's not supposed to exist. Like the mind kind of breaks in moments like that, because again, everything that you knew was supposed to be real is now out the window. And to kind of try live a normal life after that, it's super hard, because it opens up the world to, like, what else is not supposed to be out there but is out there.
Yeah Well, it is funny that you say, if somebody had told me, you know, I witnessed a UFO, I'd probably say, yeah, okay, unidentified flying object, you know, no one, it just means you saw something that you didn't identify. That's feasible. That, to me, you know, that's, but to say that you saw a gigantic orangutan bear monster on the beach eating dead fish, that's a whole different realm of possibility. I was never a Yowie enthusiast. I was never a Yowie hunter. I'd heard about Yowies on a TV show here and there throughout my 39 years of life at that point. But for it to happen, it changes everything.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets, and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.